Hello everyone, it's the Low Budget Bitches. This episode we're going to be talking all things Bravo. We're going to cover The Real Housewives, Summer House, and even Below Deck Sailing Yacht. How are you, Amon?
I'm doing very well. We have so many Bravo shows to discuss. It's crazy how much content we're getting, but again, I'm not complaining. This is fantastic. This is great for us.
Yes, this is getting me through the winter season. It is slowly defrosting my personality again, so it's great. Okay, so let's get started with Atlanta. Now we're seeing the story come out in the media, though. So that is very interesting. We start off with like a bunch of like random scenes of like the housewives just like doing their own thing. Kenya sweeping her sad little porch. But she does talk to her dad about Mark, which I thought was very interesting. Their relationship is nice to see, especially since she doesn't have one with her mom. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like her dad doesn't know Mark, and it's like he even said like, I can't really offer you anything because I don't know him. And I was like, married for like 2 years though.
I know, that's the crazy part though, because like, I mean, Kenya's dad wasn't even at the wedding,
right?
He's never met, which is just insane to me. It's like you would have thought they would have at least met like after Brooklyn was born,
right?
Which was well before the quarantine / pandemic. So yeah, it's a little crazy that he has never met him. So yikes.
I know. And Kenya's just a hard character to like, because she does have all these moments where it's like, yikes, that really sucks. But then she also has these moments where it's like, okay, I see you. This is karma. Because, you know, we have a sit down with Kenya and Drew, which is like the most random pairing I have seen in a while. And
yeah,
that little dinner was all sorts of awkward.
Yeah, that dinner was, it was definitely wild. I don't even know where to begin with this little dinner they had.
I don't even know why they had this dinner. Like, the producers were just like, okay, you two go out to eat.
Yeah, what did you think of, like whose side were you more on in this dinner? Just because, you know, Drew was basically saying that she thinks that Kenya just doesn't, like, hear people's perspectives or sides, and there's been some shady things that have been done, and so Drew's just kind of trying to get to the bottom of this. But then, like, I don't know, it just felt like Kenya was not even, like, apologizing or, like, feeling bad for whatever she's done on that trip.
I know. At first I was on Drew's side just because she was making a point, like, yeah, this group, they like fight and they're like crying or whatever, and then the next day they just act as if nothing had happened. Like, that is weird. But then at the same time I was kind of on Kenya's side just because it's like Drew just kept talking about it, and it was just like, girl, just get over it. It's not a big deal. Especially if you're going to be in a group like these with these women.
Yeah, and I think the thing that Drew needs to realize is that, like, if somebody is not going to give an apology right off the bat, then number one, they probably just don't want to, like, apologize or, you know, like, regret what they've done. Secondly, you're probably never going to get it. If you do ever get it, it's not going to be genuine. It's just going to be out of the sake of giving you an apology or whatever you want to hear. And I feel like Kenya is one of those tough cookies, right? That it's like, you're not really going to get what you want from her. It's going to be Kenya's way or the highway. And so I think Drew needs to realize that in this situation or in any sort of situation she has with Kenya, it's more so like you have to learn how to move on your own, because she's not going to, you know, apologize or say anything to you that you need to hear.
For sure. I thought it was hilarious, though, that when they were arguing, they were actually arguing for a long time, that the editors were like, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later. And they just kept talking over each other. And I was like, this is so exhausting. I can't even imagine what it's like to be there and have to like witness that for like 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. And their food was just sitting there. They did not take one bite.
No breath was taken. They just kept going and kept going. What's your opinion on broke bitches split checks?
Okay. I definitely think that, like, I don't know, when it comes to like dates, like when you're actually like going out with somebody, like for like, you know, someone that you're into, it's definitely, I like to follow the rule that's like whoever's asking the other person should be paying for the bill. When it
Right.
comes to friends, I'm not too sure where that line goes. I mean, I think that if you're like really close friends with somebody, then I feel like that should go as well. Like, oh yeah, like I invited you to dinner, I'm gonna pay for you. But I think that because this dinner also went sour, Drew was probably just like, I'm not paying for this hoe's meal. Like, I don't give a shit. I will pay for my own. I don't want her paying for mine either. So I think it was like that situation. Had the dinner gone differently, maybe Drew wouldn't have wanted to split the bills. I don't know.
I thought it was hilarious that Drew invited Kenya out and she was just like, she can pay for her own meal. I am not paying for that. Kenya just
But I know, and Kenny
hightailed
was
her
kind of
way.
crazy. She was just like, no, I'm not paying for this if I if we have to split it. And I have to, and
Right?
I was just like, it's not that hard. Like the server will do all the work for you, Kenny. I'm not too sure if you've ever been to a restaurant, but you just need to
Yeah.
tell the server how much, like, or like to split it, and they will deal with the taxes and everything. Like, don't
I
worry, girl. You don't have to get
know.
your coin purse out and deal with quarters and shit. Like,
Yeah,
it's okay.
no need for the calculator app.
Yeah.
I can't believe that was her reason. She's like, I'm not calculating the tax. And I'm like, what? And then the production, they calculated the tax and put it on the screen too.
Oh my God. I feel like we've never ever like, you know, gone into like seeing the behind the scenes of like dinners. Like
Yeah.
we've never like seen like how much totals are for any of these housewives' dinners and any of the
Right.
franchises. They never show that. They never show anyone paying for their meals either. And then they never also show anyone like actually taking their food away because like, you know, in most housewife shows, whenever they're doing like a dinner or a lunch scene, you always like see them like eating like one or two bites. And then, like, them leaving, and I'm just like, there's so much food left over. Like, that is such a waste.
Okay, so first thing is that Bravo pays for the food,
Yeah.
apparently. So that's why I thought it was weird when Kenya and Drew were like fighting over who's paying for the bill. Because I remember, who was it? I think it was Garcelle on her first season when they went out for some sort of dinner and Garcelle like was taking out her credit card. One of the OGs was just like, oh no, Bravo pays for it. And she was just like, okay.
Oh, I
So
didn't.
yeah,
I always,
Bravo
I mean,
pays.
I thought that probably happened, but like, probably just in this case, maybe they'll get reimbursed or something. They'll have to submit a receipt somewhere on Concur or something,
My
and they'll
God.
get their money back.
That's so funny. But yeah, that's why I thought it was weird that they were fighting. OC, there was apparently like an unspoken rule that you do not like film them when they're eating.
Oh, I mean, okay, that does make sense because, like, I think it's because, like, you know, you don't want to like catch
Yeah.
somebody like in like a an ugly moment or whatever. But that does explain why, like, maybe they don't show that kind of stuff. But the doggy bag situation was amazing. And I think we've seen a doggy bag situation on Atlanta before as well. I think it was like Marlo or somebody went to like a dinner and then they were just like, yeah, no, I'm packing this and taking this to my hotel room and I'm gonna finish it there. So, yeah.
That dinner was like so stupid. There was no point to that dinner and like nothing got resolved. So
Yeah, nothing.
that was the dumbest thing ever. I mean, the crux of this episode was Miss Marlowe inviting all the lady to a pumpkin patch, which honestly, I don't know if it's the housewives or the producers that make them do these weird activities. Because we've seen a pumpkin patch before on New York.
Oh yes, we have. That one was much more lively. This one was very
Yeah.
like, this one didn't even look like a pumpkin patch. It just looked like a field where like they had like, you know, a table and like a truck to like take them around. Very random, to be quite honest. I didn't expect that Atlanta would even have like a pumpkin patch or anything.
Right.
It was, yeah, it was interesting. And also, like, this is kind of like an activity that like we've done, like I've done. And so it's interesting seeing like housewives doing the same sort of activity.
Yeah, and I love how they had alcohol there. They had a whole spread. I was like, okay, I could get behind this kind of pumpkin patch. But the big issue at this pumpkin patch is that the stripper gate has leaked into the media.
Yeah.
And in the article, page six, they're just like somebody who was there and witnessed this whole situation tells us that, Bolo fucked one of the housewives. And so, I mean, there aren't that many people that witnessed all of it. So who do you think it is?
Well, it's Kenya. I mean,
Okay.
I think it's Kenya, or it could just be someone like, a part of the crew, possibly.
Right.
But the all the ladies kind of think it's Kenya because of the way that it was written and described and stuff like
Yeah.
that. And I think some of them did even mention that, like, she has some sort of affiliations to various presses. I think I could be wrong. I don't know if they mentioned that, but I mean, what they all do, that's the
Yeah.
housewives world. You have connections to all these people because you're trying to, get as famous as you possibly can. But even the fact that like LaToya even said like, yeah, I think Kenya did this, that was a little like, yikes, damn.
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen Kenya congregate, talk to, speak to, conversate with random media. Like that one event where it was like, I think it was a Marlowe event or something, and it was just like outside, and somebody asked Kenya, like, oh, what do you think about like Nene or Marlowe or something? She's just like, no, I will never be friends with them. And it was just like a random blogger that had like a iPhone camera. Don't you remember that scene?
I don't.
Oh my gosh. It was just so random, and I was like, why is Kenya talking to them? It was like a
Well,
couple seasons ago.
even in this episode, she did mention she was just like, now if it was like a TMZ or this, then I would possibly. And I was like, okay, so you're basically outing yourself that you do indeed talk to the press.
Yeah. And she said TMZ and like B
In
Scott.
other,
And I was
yeah.
like, those are not reputable places per se. I mean, they're not like, I feel like they're the same level as page six.
Yeah, I mean, a tabloid is a tabloid is a tabloid. I
Exactly.
feel like they're all kind of like on the same level. They all do the same sort of work, and I'm sure like a lot of them are tied to each other. So, I mean, if you release one thing to one tabloid, the other tabloids are going to pick it up instantly. So, I mean, yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, Kenya, did she even like deny it or something?
I think she did. She was just like, no, I didn't do that because Page Six has written something bad about my ass, so why would I fit, like give them a story? And I was just like, well, I love the reasoning. I love
I
the
know.
justification of this.
And it's like, girl, we all know that you talk to the press to get a little coin, and
Yeah.
you might need some after this little divorce that you're gonna have.
I mean, I will say, like, the season, something that I've noticed is Kenya drives some good cars.
Yeah.
Like, she has a Tesla, and then she also has that, I don't know car shit, but like she had that like white convertible. I think it's like,
Oh, I
I don't
think
know what
that
brand.
one's it might be a Maybach or something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines, but I know that it's a luxurious car and it is
Exactly.
probably expensive. And I know that these ladies do get paid a lot from the show, but I'm just like, damn, this girl got money.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, you have the money not only to buy the car, but also to maintain the car, because that shit's expensive.
Exactly.
Portia, she is late as ever, and she's not even late, like a 30-minute late. She's 2 hours end of the event late because she went the opposite direction, which I thought was hilarious.
I mean, Portia's always late to everything. I
I
wasn't really
know.
surprised about this. I mean, yeah, she came like really late, and I was
She
surprised
came
that
at
like
the end.
Shamia and all of them like even just like stood around and waited for her. They were just
I
like,
know.
I guess we'll
Yeah,
wait for
then
her.
they just had a little gab session, little kiki. And then they were just like, okay, bye.
Yeah, like in the middle of like the dark, like in the
I
middle of like a
know.
random area.
Being illuminated by the headlights of the car.
By the way, what did you think of how Kenya was just like, oh, when it came to the dinner with LaToya, not sorry, not with LaToya, with Drew, like she was doing some vocal exercises. High key though, if I was on a reality show, like I'd probably be doing the same thing before a scene. I'd be like, I gotta prep my voice because I know I'm gonna be screaming and yelling at some bitches today.
I know. I thought that was so funny. Even like watching the scene of Drew doing her do re mi's was funny. I was like, what is she doing? But to your point, very true. I would also need to prep my vocal cords if I'm gonna cut a bitch.
Yeah, like if I was on the show, I'd probably do that before every dinner, and then during every dinner scene, I'd probably like order like tea, because I'd be like, no, I gotta stay lubricated. I know I'm gonna be talking a lot. I need to like, stay at my prime.
Exactly. Gotta take care of yourself.
Okay, so when Portia does arrive, we kind of see Marlo and
Oh.
them talking, and Marlo is in a weird way, like she feels like Portia is not friends with her anymore now that she's meet up
Oh,
with Virginia.
yes.
But Portia was just like, no, like I've just been busy. It's not like on purpose. Like I don't really care what you do with Kenya. But Marlo does say that Kenya only like they haven't even talked since they came back from the trip. It was just that one moment when they were in South Carolina or
Oh,
wherever they
yeah.
were. Yeah.
I mean, I'm very confused by Marlo because she seems to really want validation from these ladies for some reason.
I feel like Marlo has always been the kind of person that doesn't really give a shit as to what other people
Right?
say. But I do feel that this season she's looking for a lot of validation. I do understand her perspective though. I think that she's like really trying to be careful because she like has been friends with Portia for a while, and obviously she doesn't want to hurt Portia, but also at the same time she wants to like get to a better place with Kenya. But it's like, the minute you that happens because like Portia and Kenya have such a bad relationship, it's like you have to be careful with what you do and who you're friends with and stuff. So, but it's like, if you are really like scared about like losing your friendship with Portia, then maybe you should just stay not being friends with Kenya. I feel like in this case you can only pick and choose one.
Yeah, and it's like, in what world would you choose Kenya over Portia?
Oh, 1000%.
So that's confusing for Miss Marlowe, and I think this kind of like blows up later in the season too. Okay, let's take a break and we'll come back with New Jersey. Okay, we're back with New Jersey. We're still at Lake George, surprisingly.
This is a long ass trip, man. It
I
is
know.
like, I feel like we've seen them go to like 10 dinners at this point.
That is so true.
Oh, at the beginning of the episode, we see that like all the housewives are talking to their husbands after, the husbands had a night out. And Joe fully lied to Marge. Like she was just like, oh yeah, like did you guys like did that come up? Like Evan and Jackie. And he was just like, no, nothing came up. And I was like, Joe, you're gonna get your ass beat the minute Marge watches this show, because she's gonna be like, not only did you lie to me, but you also were the person saying some bad things about Evan, which I was just like, yikes.
Yeah, she's gonna fucking put him in the wall and like freaking, what's it, nail that shit in.
Oh yeah.
From those phone calls, David, 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 what am I gonna do with you? He is such a dick. Like, Dolores tells him what she's gonna do that day, and like other husbands respond, like, oh my God, that sounds fun. And he's just like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know about David. I mean, there's
I
something
hate
that we
him
don't
so
see that
much.
Dolores does see, and I trust Dolores's instincts, because she's such a strong, amazing person. It could just be that, I honestly think that he's just such a normal person that like he just like if he knows that he's being filmed or whatever, like I feel like he doesn't give much on purpose. Or just because like he's such a normal person that he just doesn't like care or realize that he has to like act a certain way in front of a camera. So it could just be that he's a really nice guy, but just, in these scenes he just comes off bad, because I want to vouch for him because there's something that we're not seeing.
Are you being paid by him?
No, I'm not.
I mean, also at the end where she's just like, love you, and then he doesn't say anything, and I was just like, oh no, man, this is not it. Like, oh, I hate him so much. Anyways, moving on from him, this is another person I hate so much, Teresa. As much as she keeps saying, like, I don't want to talk about Jackie, I'm over the situation, she brings it up constantly.
Yeah, even Jennifer even said it in her confessional. She was
Yeah.
just like, Teresa is beating a dead horse. Like, come on now. Like, We get it. And the thing is, which we'll talk about a little bit later, is Jackie's doing the exact same thing.
I know.
But yeah, Teresa needs to get a grip on life and just move on. Like, it's like, okay, girl, we get it. You don't want to apologize and you're mad. You should at least just, like, you stop talking about this because, like, you seem to care a lot.
Exactly. Also, Jennifer tells Melissa about Michelle, the crunchy-ass realtor, and her little accusation of owing tens of thousands of dollars to her husband. And I feel like Melissa kind of takes it well, but I also feel like there's some sort of, like, somebody's lying, obviously.
Yeah, I was worried for Jennifer because I was like, I don't know, like, she's trying really hard to, like, have a good friendship with Melissa. And again, it went really well. It did. It was pretty interesting that, like, you know, they're literally all, like, having lunch and Melissa's just like, nope, I'm dealing with this right now. And she's just like, yeah, I'm gonna go and talk to my husband right now. Which to me, I don't know, that was a little, like, it was nice to see, like, you know, them, like, figure it out right away. But it was also just like, girl, eat your lunch and then figure it out. Like, it's okay. Like, you're on vacation. Just fucking deal with that when you get home, you know? Like, I don't know. If that was me, I'd probably just be like, okay, well, thank you for letting me know. And I'm going to take action and do my investigation whenever I talk to my husband. But I'm not letting this affect my mood right now because, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, yeah, she also confronts Teresa about it already.
Teresa is just the dumbest person ever.
Stupid.
She literally does not care about her brother.
She does not.
When Melissa's bringing up all these concerns, she's just like, I mean, she hasn't told me directly, and I don't know about this. So, and right? I don't even know what my brother does. Like, you know, my brother always just tells me things are fine, but I don't know if he's doing something shady. And I'm just like, you're literally shitting on your brother's character by saying all of this. Like, right? You do know that, right? Like, even though you don't know what your brother's doing, like, that's not a great thing to say about someone that you, you know, love.
Yeah. And the fact that she's just not as mad as she should be is so interesting and weird to see. She's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
I'll ask, I'll figure it out eventually. Like, when I see her, I'll figure it out.
Yeah. And I mean, moving on to this confrontation with the realtor, it was like just the hypocrisy of Teresa. She'd just be like, oh, okay, you know, Melissa told me this, did you say this? And she was just like, well, I think the husbands need to work it out. And she's like, yeah, I think that's what's best. I'm like, Teresa, if this was you, you would be fucking throwing that bitch in the pool.
Yeah, well, I also think that, like, first of all, this real estate agent, what's her name again? Rachel?
Michelle.
This is really unprofessional on her part. Like, if she's, like, the top realtor of
I know. New Jersey,
like, this is a really bad part, like, move on her part. Like, to, like, tell somebody else that their friend's husband didn't pay her husband. Like, I'm just like, I don't know if, like, that's, like, a very professional move. And if I was personally Teresa, I would be like, I would right away, like, stop working with this person, because I would probably be like, like, I get it. Like, you might have some issues, or your husband might have some money issues with my brother. But the fact that you're at a party saying this to somebody that you just met for the first time, that's a little problematic.
Exactly. And Teresa's just like, okay, you're going to talk to the husbands, or the husbands are going to talk to each other. Let's go take more pictures of my fucking ugly ass house.
Oh, my God. Can we also comment on, like, how terrible her house is? Like, I'm actually very happy she's selling it, because it's like, when they bought it, like, they never, like, renovated or redecorated since.
No. They built that house, I think. Didn't they?
They built it?
I think so. Either that, or it was, like, a smaller house and they added stuff. Because I remember it was, like, Joe, he was building, like, a garage when he didn't have a job.
I mean, okay, well, even if they built it, like, it seems like they haven't, like, redecorated since the time that they first decorated it. And I'm happy that they're selling it, because it's also, like, very large. And I'm just like, yeah. Do they need this entire, like, space?
They do not. And that great room that they keep showing, that is a monstrosity. It is so big, and all the furniture in there, it looks like little miniature furniture because the room is so big. And I'm just like, who the fuck would make a room this big? Like,
Oh, yeah.
I am kind of sad that they are selling the house just because she just put a pool in there. But that
Oh,
also
that pool is
means,
beautiful. Yeah.
yeah, that also means that if she does get a new house, she can get a new pool and see that pool guy again, because oh my god,
Tony,
I love him so much. Oh my god, he's so cute.
I was honestly shipping them for the longest time. Like the first time
Same.
I saw him before Teresa even got a divorce, I was like, Teresa, you need to get on this Tony man. You just have to. But she apparently thinks of him as a brother, and I'm just like, yikes.
I know, and even Dolores was kind of like, Tony's okay, but at the same time, I think since they all grew up with each other, they kind of need to expand their pool. And when Dolores said that, I was just like, wow, that kind of reminds me of some of the people we know and how they just, stay in the vicinity of where we live in terms of their relationships.
Oh my God, the shade. It's
I know.
true. It's
So
true.
yeah.
I think some people have this issue where they like to just like date within of people their own like little realm, and it's important to get yourself out there. So I was also happy that Dolores said it, because I know that Dolores has been a part of like their entire circle for like years and years, and she made a very valid point.
Exactly. So I was like, good. Jackie, she like comes back to the show essentially. And she wants to have like a do-over party for Evan. And I was
Yeah.
like, okay, but then she invites Teresa, I think.
No, she didn't invite
Oh, she
Teresa.
didn't invite her.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, anyways, I thought this was so silly
Yeah.
that she was
Okay,
having a
so here's the thing. I thought that it was actually a good idea to be like, you know what? Like that birthday party was ruined, and we want to like celebrate in a nice way. But And okay, just also going back to my point, and like it was like she was just like, I don't want any negativity to be a part of this. I don't want us to talk about it. But literally every 30 seconds, either Jackie or someone else is bringing up the rumors. And I'm just like, you guys just basically ruined another birthday party for this poor man who has just been accused of cheating. And now it's like you guys just like aren't even like trying to like, you know, like stop talking about this, because it's like it honestly is one of those things where it's like, if you want to stop, like if you want people to stop thinking something or a certain rumor, then you just have to stop talking about it, period. That's the only solution, because the minute people stop talking about it and people start talking about something else in life, that's when like, you know, people move on and people are just like, you know what, that was nothing, that was a small little smudge of whatever happened, and now we're just moving on. But no, Jackie needs to make it clear to everybody that she is still mad, Evan is still going through stuff, and that she doesn't care. And it's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah. And I just have a question. Like, they say that Evan works in finance, and so this rumor is really bad for his reputation. And I'm like, do financial people need a reputation?
I don't know what kind of finance he works in, because like there's a lot of different types of finance. I feel like saying finance is a very, very, very broad thing to say.
Yeah.
It's like being like, yeah, I work in medicine. It's like, okay, well, are you a doctor? Are you a nurse? Are you a, like what are you?
Or even like a consultant.
Yeah, I do understand a little bit of the sentiment, because it could be that he's like deals with a lot of like high clients or people that like maybe watch the show. And because like I think that if it was like a cheating rumor and they weren't on the show, then it wouldn't really be a big deal. But because you're on the show, there's a higher, like people are looking at you more, you know? And any sort of bad negativity that comes in is bad for whatever you're doing. And I think also it's that maybe the company that he works for, like maybe they don't want to, you know, have somebody that is being put out in a negative light, because their clients are, you know, very professional or very secretive or whatever it may be. So I do kind of get the sentiment of it, but they are acting like he's like, you know, like a priest, and like
Right?
and like this will like end his career. I'm just like, it'll make a dent, but it won't do too bad. Like it won't like kill him.
Right? So I was just like, Okay, they really need to relax. They are acting as if he's like Jesus Christ reincarnated or something. I mean, I really honestly had to like fast forward through this party because I was like, this is so boring. I don't care.
This party was pretty cringe. First of all, why didn't they just do this in their backyard? Like, they were in a full-on
Right?
restaurant with so many people, and it was so ghetto because like they just like in the corner of the restaurant like had their own like two picnic tables and then like those whatever that game is called,
The cornholes.
sackenhole, whatever it's called, yeah, cornhole. I'm just like, this is ghetto. Like, y'all couldn't even find like a private space. Like, New Jersey doesn't have like a restaurant that has like its own like little private space on the side because y'all have a lot of land.
Right? Why couldn't they go behind Marsh's house in that weird lot?
Yeah, like they all have big houses. Like, it could easily have been done in someone's backyard. I didn't get it.
Literally, it could have been done in Jennifer's foyer because that's how big her freaking front part of the house is.
Yeah, I don't know why I was under the assumption that this was also gonna have people who were like their friends. Like, I thought when they meant like a redo of a party, I thought they like literally meant like a full, like, not like inviting just as many people as the first one, but still inviting some other friends as well. But this was like
Yeah.
a Housewives exclusive dinner.
Exactly. I was like, okay. Interesting.
I cringe so much when people like, okay, let me rephrase this. I don't mind doing a little bit of a toast if like you're having like a party, you know. Like, I think at a birthday party, like it's a cute little moment for like, you know, the birthday person to just give like a small little toast. Or even like if you're having like a any other party, like it's always cute to like do like one little toast, but I think it's really awkward when like someone else does a toast for the person. I think, and so when Jackie went up and was just like, I need to do a toast, I was like, this is just, I fast forwarded through that because I was like, that's cringe.
Exactly. I was just like, oh, another toast where she's just like, I love this man. He's the best thing ever. And I'm like, please stop.
They also need to stop bringing up this whole blowjob stuff. I literally like don't care to know how many blowjobs she is giving to him, if she's not, what when she's joking.
Yeah.
This ongoing joke about the blowies, I don't care for. I think it's kind of like
Yeah, I feel like
also cringy.
At this point, it's just like, okay, we all know you have sex. I don't really need to know the mechanics of what you're doing, what positions you're in. I literally do not care.
I
It
was
is
like,
not my
isn't that
business.
more detrimental to his reputation in finance of you guys talking about like your sex
Right?
life more than the cheating situation? And here's the thing, like, I really like Jackie, but she, like, I don't
I
know, like,
know.
I am starting to like not like her anymore. Like, I'm just like, I don't know, like, she's kind of becoming the Teddy of how Teddy
Oh
was on
my
the Charlie
God,
show.
yeah. That's annoying. 'Cause I do like the fact that she goes up against Teresa, but at the same time, it's like she's doing it in a wrong way where it's like she just keeps going off on the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's I don't know, it just it is very Teddy where she just keeps talking about it, keeps talking about it. And it's like you gotta let it go at some point, girl.
Yeah, I'm really like, now that this was like the fourth episode, now that we're gonna go into the fifth episode, I hope that we kind of see a change in drama because I am
Yeah.
kind of over this whole situation now. It was cute for the first few episodes, but now it's like, okay, guys, like let's figure something else. And I do know that in the next week preview they showed some new drama that's gonna, you know, come about, so I am excited for that.
Same here, same here. Anything else we want to talk about? Okay, we'll take a break and we'll come back with Summer House. Welcome back, guys. We're here with Summer House. This episode, it's the aftermath of Ms. Lindsay and Stefan and their blowout. And wow, Ms. Lindsay texting Stefan, calling him, talking to him about what she needs and what she wants, and him coming right back with a PowerPoint
Oh my
presentation.
God. This to me was so romantic.
With eight
I love
slides.
I loved this. If anyone knows me, I love me Microsoft Office, the whole suite. I love me
365.
Excel. Yeah, 365, mama. And I thought it was fantastic. So I personally thought that like he was just gonna be like, fuck this, like I'm over it, like
Right,
I'm not gonna
same.
be with you. So the fact that first when he sent flowers, I was just like, oh, like damn, like I guess maybe he feels bad about it. And then
Yeah.
when he actually did that PowerPoint and sent her very thorough slides with very cute clip
Oh
art,
yeah, I read them.
I was gonna read them, but I was like, meh, I don't really care to. But I thought that that was nice. I'm glad that like, you know, he was able to, you know, speak to her in a language that was best for him, because you know he's in like the corporate world and that's the best way for him to communicate. But I still am like worried, because I'm just like, I get that you guys are, you know, now going to, you know, try to fix things, but at the same time, like, I don't know if Lindsay will ever be happy with anybody.
Exactly. I feel like her standards are too high and she expects too much of a straight man, honestly.
I think the best person for her would be like if she got like a sugar daddy that she saw like for like 1 week every 3 months, and he spoiled her with everything she's ever wanted in life, and then she can go back to her own life and just do what she needs to. Like I feel like for her that's a perfect setup, and it's because I feel like she's such an independent person that she needs to have her own space.
See, but I feel like that would be good, but I feel like she would also spiral really quickly in terms of getting like addicted to that, romantic, spoiled lifestyle so that she would want more. And obviously, the sugar daddy is probably gonna be like, no, girl, I can't do this every time. And she's gonna be like, well, if you want to keep me, you have to do this and this. And so, I don't know. Lindsay's a very complex character.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that she needs to learn about herself, is that I think that she's a very independent person, but then she also at the same time like really like loves love and affection and quality time. So I think it's just like a huge like contrast of like what her personality is and what she wants, and she needs to figure out what the perfect mix for herself will be, because I don't think she's going to
Exactly.
be able to have like a good relationship until she figures out what that perfect equation will be for her.
Exactly. And I was kind of like on the side of Danielle where it's like, she said again, you've been with Lindsay for a whole year, you know who she is, and she wants a grand gesture, and you give her a PowerPoint. So I was like, yeah. I mean, Lindsay probably would have preferred like a helicopter with like the skywriting with like a whole essay apologizing.
Yeah.
But that's just not who Stefan is, and I think Lindsay will have to accept that.
Yeah, I mean, if she wants to continue with him, she'll have to just accept it. I also agree with, I don't, I mean, I liked the PowerPoint. I thought that that was like really cute and it was effective. But I do agree with Danielle's concerns about just like their relationship overall. Like, I think Danielle was also kind of just like, okay, so you just had literally the worst birthday of your life, just spent like a full like day or two like shit talking about him to all these people and to like everybody in the house. He left and didn't even give a shit, and now you guys are all of a sudden like, you know, back on track, and so it's a little worrisome.
Yeah, exactly. We have more trouble brewing with Mr. Cook, Kyle, and Hannah. It starts off with them partying too hard or too loud or whatever, and Hannah's just like, "Can you please turn down the volume?" And that like turns out into like a whole blowout. And so I'm just like, I was kind of on the side of Kyle and Danielle where it's like they work all week. And the weekend is the one time they actually get to let loose, especially working in this house. And so I was just like, yeah, like let them party. And it wasn't even like Hannah and Paige were sleeping, they were watching TV.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like in the middle with this fight, because I understood both parties. Like I did understand when Paige and Hannah were just, they just wanted like the volume lowered. I think that the way that they came at it, like their text messages when they were showing them on the screen, I think that
Yeah.
that was a little passive aggressive when they
Yeah,
were like,
definitely was.
you have to be considerate of everyone in this house. It was just like, okay, well, if you just like nicely ask somebody like, hey, we're just doing something over here, and like, can you just like lower the volume a little bit,
Yeah.
or keep keep it on. Just, you know, I think that that would have been like an ideal solution and a better way to do it. But yeah, I think that there was definitely some passive aggression in that, those text messages that kind of like threw them all off. It's a toughie. It's a toughie because it's just like, it is also kind of just like, you know, Kyle did just like last week preach about, you know, that everyone needs to like, you know, consider each other in this house when it comes to chores and all that kind of stuff. And so I see Kyle's side because he's probably just like, yeah, these two do nothing all day. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, if they're not being considerate of us, then we're not going to be considerate of them. But then at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, you do have to sometimes practice what you preach. You know, like, if you want everyone to be considerate of each other in this household, then sometimes you have to be the bigger person and just, you know, do what you need to do to set an example. So it's a toughie.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle just can never be the bigger person. He's literally a man child. He's like forever 17, stuck in a 40-year-old person's body. So you can't really expect too much from him.
Oh yeah. So him and him and Hannah actually get into like a bigger
fight.
And that was a little interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think Hannah, she plays the victim card a lot, and it's really not working out in this situation because she's playing it very hard, where she's kind of just like, I'm the victim. I did nothing wrong. You are just attacking me for no reason. And it's like, well, you kind of were, you know, shitty.
I think what it just really comes down to is that Hannah is like, she knows exactly which buttons to push Kyle. And so I don't exactly remember what scene this was, but I Kyle and her, they were just like all like coexisting, you know, in their backyard. And then I think she said something which kind of provoked the fight.
Oh yeah.
But even Kyle does the same thing too. Like, he also like says stuff under his breath that kind of provokes fights too. So they both really know how to get each other. It's crazy, but I feel bad for Amanda right now.
Oh yeah, I definitely feel bad for her because it's like, yeah, you want to be a good girlfriend and like defend your other girlfriends and stuff like that, especially when it's your boyfriend yelling at them or whatever, because that's just like no. But then you also want to support your fiance. So I don't know what she should do. I feel like if she gets involved or if she stays on the sidelines, it's like a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a full lose-lose situation because it's just like, you know, like, you obviously want to only be friends with people who are also going to like respect your partner, like just like a mutual respect, and that's not happening in this case. So it's hard to be friends with Hannah right now.
Exactly.
We got to kind of see more of Sierra this episode. Talk a little bit more about her life and stuff. And I know that Kyle apologized to her.
Oh, yeah.
Which was nice, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm excited to see like more of her. And I know that like in the next episode's preview, it looks like we're going to like get to see a little bit more of her, like, you know, personality. And I feel like she's like slowly blooming and opening up, which is nice.
Yeah, she kind of has a little thing, I suppose, with Carl. And Carl's back, which is very nice.
Yes.
I think we needed him in this house because he's literally like the only stable person.
Which is very shocking.
I know.
Who would have thought?
What a turn of events.
Truly a big turn of events. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to see Carl as well. I actually ship him and Sierra. I think that they'd be really cute together. But then again, though, I also kind of want to see him and Paige get back together, and I want to see them like, you know, try stuff out, because I think that in the past he was just like very immature, but I think now with everything that's happened in his life and who he's become now, I think that he's like very like perfect for Paige. And it's very, very, very clear this season that Paige does not want to be with Perry.
Yeah, she's over him.
Yeah, like, I think Hannah even said something when her and Paige were talking about something, and she was just like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be with that, or like, I don't know why you're still with him, or something along those lines. And I was just like, okay, if a friend is saying it, then there's definitely something that Paige is telling Hannah, like, in, like, you know, when cameras aren't rolling, that, you know, about her relationship with Perry, and it doesn't seem to be going great.
Exactly. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
Should we wrap it up with Below Deck Sailing Yacht?
Let's do it.
We are going to finish off with Below Deck Sailing Yacht. We've both watched the first two episodes. What are your overall thoughts about Sailing Yacht compared to a Below Deck?
It's very interesting. So I have never watched the Sailing Yacht series at all.
Same.
I don't know why. I just thought that it was just like a fun given to like another franchise. You know, like we have Below Deck Med. I was like, maybe they just wanted to say sailing yacht. I didn't know that it was taken on a sailboat, which I
I
learned that it
know.
is. It's crazy because this boat is so tiny. Like from like it looks tiny when you like look at it from like a large view, but then like it's much bigger inside, just like a regular like you know yacht is. I mean, it's not as big because I don't think that there's that many guest rooms, and
Exactly,
then
yeah.
the fact that the captain has to share a room with the crew, that's a little ghetto. Okay,
That was shocking.
that's crunchy. But this captain though, he seems like a jolly good time. Like he
Yeah.
seems like just a very happy person. Nothing like Captain Sandy or Captain
Lee.
Lee.
Yeah.
He is just like he's just there for the fun of it.
Right? He seems so like nice and just, not like super strict the way Captain Lee and Captain Sandy are. I mean, each of the crew members, they're all kind of crazy in their own respective ways. I just need to talk about Jean-Luc for a second because this man is like 7 foot, and I'm just like, why the fuck would you choose an industry where you're stuck on a tiny ass boat and you're 7 foot? Like, make it make sense.
Is he 7 foot?
Something like that. He's like 6'8" or something.
He is a tall boy, JL. Great to look at. His
Really
tattoos.
though, really? Those
Yeah.
tattoos, that chest and like the back,
Okay,
the
that
coat of
tattoo
arms.
really, those tattoos are tacky on another
Gag.
level. Like they are just terrible. First, like I saw the back tattoo. I didn't see his front tattoos until the second episode when they
Yeah.
were filming. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like this is
Right.
really bad. He could have done so much better with different tattoos. And like, yeah, they're just like it's like he went to like a random tattoo shop like in a
I
plaza
know.
and was just like tatting me up,
Oh
boys.
my gosh. How do you feel about this Chief Stew?
She's a good time. She's a good time. She seems Daisy seems like she seems like she's a good mix of like knowing how to be friendly with her staff, but also like being able to put that boss hat on. And I think that's something that in previous seasons we haven't ever seen. Like I guess with Kate and even with Hannah, it's always been very like they've taken the role seriously, which obviously like you need to do, but I think they've taken the role a little too seriously. And it's become a little bit like a part of their personality. Whereas with Daisy, it's nice to see somebody that like, you know, isn't too like strict or crazy or taking it on too personally. It seems like she knows that it's a job and she'll do the job, and after that, she can go back to just being, you know, one of the girls.
Okay, yes. How do you feel about Daisy and the chef? Because in the first episode, they had a disagreement about serving breakfast. And then in the second episode, they had a disagreement about how many pitas there were in the basket. Who do you believe?
I mean, okay, first of all Below Deck chefs are kind of crazy. Like you
They
just have to like
are.
you know it's that like whatever chef you're going to deal with is going to be on that sort of level. In this situation, in both of those situations, I do take Daisy's side more rather than the chef,
Same.
because like I think what the chef Natasha, I think her name is, what she
Yeah.
didn't realize in the first episode was that they did set up stuff, or they were about to set up stuff for the breakfast, but the guests were the ones that were just like, no, we just want to be sailing. We'd rather have something that we can just like eat and grab. And I think that kind of maybe got a little bit misconstrued when they were talking, because Natasha was coming across like, no, like, did you set the table though? Like, you should have set the table already so that they have no option. But it's like, girl, like what on when you're on this sort of yacht and you have to like whatever
Exactly.
your guests want, you have to give them. You can't say like, oh yeah, like we set the breakfast table, like go and eat. Like, no, if they said that they want to be sailing and have a breakfast on hand, that's what you got to do. You have to like maneuver
Exactly.
and change stuff up. So I think in that situation, she should have been like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna try to take whatever I've made for breakfast and put it into a stand a form that like they can like easily like hold on to and eat. Or even possibly telling the guests, like, you know what, we'll make some things for you. And then once we're done sailing, we'll put out like another spread of like other things, like fruits and stuff like that, things that we're not able to, you know, put into this. So I do think that it was the chef's issue on that part as to problem solving. And then the second thing was like the bread situation. I feel like there wasn't that much bread.
Exactly. There was
I
not
don't
20
know.
pieces.
There and maybe if there were 20 pieces, maybe they were just small, and maybe just like the guests, you know, ate them up quickly. So, and it's also just like, why are you fighting about this? Just do the job,
Right?
and you know, like, what is the issue of fighting about this?
I know. In both those situations, it's kind of just like, girl, this is not a hotel where it's like the guests have to follow the hotel schedule. Like, oh, breakfast is at 7 o'clock, and if you miss it, there's no breakfast. No. This is a, I guess, like a sailing yacht, but super sailing yacht in that sense,
Yeah.
where it's like you're providing a service because people are paying for this private experience. You just have to do what they want. If they want to freaking eat dinner in their fucking bedroom, you make sure that they can eat dinner in their bedroom.
Exactly.
So I think, yeah, the chef really needs to understand that this is on the guest's schedule, not hers.
Exactly. Okay, what do you think of Gary?
My God, Mr. Gary.
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 I'm really trying to learn an Australian accent right now. I know that was a British accent that what I just did, but
I think he is. He has like a dual personality in terms of like he's very serious about his work, but then once he's off the clock, he's just like Hot Mess Express.
what do these women find attractive about him? Like,
Right? I was like,
I'm searching. Do they know that he's well endowed? Is that what it is? Like, because this man looks like a thumb.
right?
Like, I don't understand how in the second episode he was like already like flirting with like two girls and like very, I think he like, you know, ends up hooking up with
Yeah.
Sydney.
Exactly. He says that, you know, the girls love the hair, and I was just like, okay, but like, can we also acknowledge what's under this hair? Like this, his head is a weird shape too. It's like a triangle. And he just seems like a frat guy.
Yeah, I don't like him very much, but I also don't like him very much because he was just like also like kind of shitting on John Luke. Like already he was just
Yeah.
shitting on him, and I'm just like, this John Luke has said, like, you know, like he's only been in this situation for like 1 year, and like if he hasn't done a few things on his first shift, instead of like complaining and acting like it's like the end of the world, why don't you just like talk to him nicely and be like, hey, like next time, like was there like any difficulties? Like, do you need help? Like, do you need to like know about any things? Like, this is the part where like I get pissed at like either chief stews or like lead deck hands, or I mean Gary, I think is like a first officer or something, or like
Yeah,
engineer or
something like
something.
that.
But still, it's like instead of like shitting on somebody, why don't you like take the moment to like actually like, you know, help them and develop them?
Yeah, and like maybe ask why he didn't do all of this stuff. Like, is this too much for you to do in like your however long shift? I also really hated Gary when he went to go like wake up John Luke just to ask him like, oh, did you like scrub the rails? And then he accidentally like turns on the light and he's just like, oops. I was like, this bitch.
Yeah, that was kind of a he just like so far has given like a very douchey vibe, and I know for a fact we're gonna see more of this douche vibe.
I know.
During the thing, he just and I honestly think that he just doesn't like Jean-Luc because he's insecure.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, like the minute Jean-Luc came, like a lot of the girls were like swooning over him. Especially in the first episode when like they're all hanging out after cleaning up and everyone's just like, where's JL? Where's JL? And I think that he kind of like is afraid, and that's why he's like shitting on him, which I think is really stupid because it's just like, okay, like really, like you don't need to be that way to somebody just because you're feeling insecure.
Exactly.
I love Danny. So far she's my favorite person
Oh,
on the
yes.
She seems like such a fun time. You know, she has been a chief stew in the past, and she was just like, no, I'm just here to have fun, and I don't want to like,
Right.
you know, take it seriously. And that's the kind of like vibe that I love, where it's like somebody's just like, yeah, I know everything, but I'm not gonna like, you know, put it in your face that I know everything. And I also think that she's doing a really great job at you know, helping Allie learn everything. Like she's giving her like really good pointers. She's not coming across bitchy, she's just coming across very helpful, which I feel like we never see in Below Deck. It's
I
always like,
know.
you know, people take their rankings very seriously on other seasons and stuff. So it's quite refreshing to see somebody who's very laid back.
I really loved when like Daisy asked her like why don't you want to become chief soon? She was just like, you know, I just don't really want that responsibility. I'm here to have fun. I was like, truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree with that. I'm excited to see what she gets up to the shenanigans because she again seems like a fun time. What do you think of Allie and Sydney?
I think they're fine. They're both good at their jobs. I think those two, they're gonna have some problems because they're
Trying to
both
get with Gary.
trying to get with Gary
Which,
and
the fact that two people are fighting over this man, I can't. They really are just like, we've been in lockdown for the longest time. We will take any dick that we can possibly get. Like, that's
exactly.
what it comes to, I guess. No offense, Gary, but
I know.
you're not cute.
I'm surprised they don't want to get with the other guy, the first engineer. What's his name?
Colin?
Oh yeah, him. He's kind of
But
cute.
Colin has a girlfriend. Yeah.
No, the Asian one.
Yeah, he has a girlfriend. Yeah, he said it on the show. Like I think it was the beginning of the second episode. He was just like, yeah, I already have a girlfriend. Like she also like is in this industry, I think, or something like that.
I thought
And
that
he
was
was
the
like,
other guy.
no, that was Colin. And then he was just like, I'm gonna vicariously live through Gary.
Oh, yes. Oh my God. I
Yeah.
totally forgot. Darn. Well, he was cute.
Yeah, he seems like a very like unproblematic person who's just gonna do his job the best he can, be everyone's friend on the boat. You know, he's gonna be a nice guy.
Yeah.
For me, like I don't know about Allie and Sydney. Like I feel like Sydney seems like a smart girl, but I'm scared of like the bad decisions she's gonna make during her time on this. And Allie seems like quite a character. I feel like with Allie, I don't know, because Allie's like, and we've seen this on Below Deck before, I don't remember names, but I feel like we've seen characters who like at the beginning, like they're like a fun person, you know, they're like a cute little person who, and it's usually like the third deck who like you're just like, oh, okay, like they know how to do their job, or like they're like learning and like, you know, they're kind of like just a nice person. And then like over time and as the season goes on, they start to become like kind of problematic, or they become the person who starts a lot of the drama. And
Yeah.
I feel like we're gonna see that with her.
Oh yeah, I mean those two like fight with Gary from the trailer. They're just like you were sleeping with her and then you're talking to me. And I'm just like, girls, we need to get higher standards.
I know.
With that being said, I think that's the end of our episode. So thank
Yes.
you guys for listening. We will be back next week with more Drag Race and Bravo.
Make sure to follow us on social media. So on Twitter, we're at the Low Budget B. On Instagram, we're at the Low Budget Bitches. And remember to subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you use and leave us a review. And we look forward to chatting with you all next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.